The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. Now a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She told the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then the harvest will come? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving the wages and is gathering the fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and the other reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Now many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you knew who it is who is speaking to you, You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. This encounter we enter into this morning in St. John's Gospel is the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. It is a profound and important encounter for many reasons. Now, we must start off by asking ourselves, why did Jesus find himself with his disciples in Sychar, and why is that important? Well, Jesus had just been in Jerusalem where he turned over some tables and where he met with and spoke to one of the chief of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus. And now he was traveling to Galilee. Now, most of the people that went from Jerusalem to Galilee would have walked along the river road in a sort of arc to the west in order to circumvent Samaria. But Jesus had cut across the center of the arc directly north from Jerusalem to Galilee and gone up into the town of Sychar in the center of Samaria. Now, Sychar, we have to understand, is an incredibly important place for Samaritans, both in the day of Jesus and today. It is the land in which Abraham walked and taught and grew and encountered God. And the area of Sychar is also the area which Abraham settled, in which Jacob was born and raised, in which he dug his well, and in which Joseph was raised. In fact, when Joseph died in Egypt and his body was mummified, he was not buried there in some great tomb, but rather transported back to this area and buried in a tomb just 400 feet from this well. And the town was renamed to its present name, Sychar, which means town of the sepulcher. The well is also just 100 feet from the base of Mount Gerizim, on which was raised the Samaritan temple, which was later destroyed. So in short, this little town of Sychar, some half a mile from the well, where the disciples were looking for food, is perhaps the most holy place for the Samaritans. It is roughly equivalent to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So Jesus finds himself going from the most holy place for the Jews in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, straight to the most holy place, Mount Gerizim in Sychar, the most holy place for the Samaritans. And there he sits at this most holy and life-giving well, the well that Jacob dug. And here he encounters this one woman and asks her for water. Now, some commentators, some would say that this is a gender-breaking encounter where Jesus is speaking to a woman. That's really kind of to miss the point here, because women were the water bearers of the day. Women carried water always. You see them even in movies today being, this is a symbol where they have the bucket on their head, they're going to and from the well. The men did not do this. This was a labor the men did not do. So for any man, doesn't matter what nationality or race he was, if a woman came to the well, the man would have asked her for water because she had the bucket. Now, that opinion about the gender-breaking nature of the conversation is really founded on the fact that the woman has a retort for Jesus. She says, "What is it that you are asking me or speaking to me?" Well, she's not saying you, a man, speaking to me, a woman, but really the question is, what are you, a Jew, doing here in Sychar, in Samaria? Why are you here? This is kind of outrageous for him to even be there. And Jesus then answers her, "If you knew who I am, if you knew who I was, if you know me, then you would have asked me and I would have given you living water." And she says, "How can you do that? You don't have a bucket." And this water is about 80 feet, over 80 feet below the ground level here to lower the rope down and get the water. Now, the ensuing conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is one of the most important encounters that we can overhear and one of the most important teachings for the disciples. For what we find is that the woman here believes that she is looking for the coming of God. She lives in Sychar, this holy place, and her responses to Jesus are in holiness. In fact, she asks him not any more questions about her personal life, at least not so far, but rather goes right to the most important question of the faith, the dispute between the Jews and the Samaritans. And yet this sentence is echoing in her mind, no doubt in our mind, if you knew me, you would ask me. One of the dangers that we face as Christians, in fact, one of the dangers that all people of all faiths face, is that the journey to find God becomes the reason for the journey to find God. That we take on the methods of the search, going to church on Sunday, going to Bible study on Saturday, doing our prayers in the middle of the day or in the evening, when we attribute the good things in our lives to God, when we say prayers, when the bad things come into our life. But in our hearts and the core of our being, we no longer expect to find God. We don't expect anything more of life than this, than the search, than the journey, than the routine. It is going to the well and back again. That is the object. That is the reason. And because of that, our spiritual eyes are blinded. Our spiritual ears are deafened. We can no longer actually hear, actually see the presence of God in our life. We cannot recognize the Savior. But He is the reason we're on the journey. How is that possible? The conversation with the Samaritan woman, in the conversation, Jesus points out gently that this is what has happened. She doesn't recognize him because she is being a good Samaritan, because she is being faithful, because she's being true, because she is obeying and being in the habit, the same as the Jews in Jerusalem. And so he says, the day will come when you don't worship here on Gerizim. That's not going to be the important thing. You don't worship on the Temple Mount. That's not the important thing. You don't find your heart and mind focused on the thing of your faith or the journey or the path of your faith. You find your heart and mind and spirit focused on the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, on the person of God in the presence of Jesus the Christ, the Savior. Jesus answers the question that she is asking in her heart at this moment, the question that we would all be asking, that burning question they said on the road when Jesus taught them after the resurrection. Didn't our hearts not burn within us when he spoke, "I am He, the one who is speaking to you. I am the living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the end of your journey. I am the reason." Now, as the woman runs back to town, half a mile away, the disciples have arrived and they haven't interrupted this encounter. But now they go to him and they say, "Would you like to eat? We need you to eat." And Jesus tells them this kind of cryptic answer, "I have food already." And they say, "Did anybody give him food?" Of course, the answer is no. What Jesus is talking about here is the presence of God, that in his mind, his heart, his soul, he sees the face of his Father, the face of God. He knows that the journey that he is on does not satisfy. It's not the journey that is the important thing, but rather that is the result, the end result. It is the motivation for it, is the companionship of it, is the God, that God's presence is what Jesus is seeking for and is empowered by. And so he teaches the disciples this very important lesson. He says to them, it is not the face of the man which you should look at. It is the heart of the man. It is not the clothes of the one that you should look at. It is the spirit of the one. It is not the voice of the one you should hear, but the mind of the one that you should encounter. It is not what you see, but what you know in the spirit that you plant the seeds of faith in telling people about me. But at the same time, you receive the harvest from the seeds that others have planted. Do not discriminate. Do not hold back your planting. And do not hold back or reject the harvest. But rather recognize my Father. Recognize my purpose in all of it. St. Paul tells us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. It is God's love in our hearts that should be motivating our minds and our spirits, giving us, as Paul says, eyes to see and ears to hear. God's love, which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which guides and directs our workings, our goings, and our comings. God's love, which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which leads us into the encounter of the other, those whom we, in our mind, would not like, but in our heart, we love because we love through God's love, which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the journey which we are on is not the journey that we are on. The purpose of the journey is to find the one, to encounter the one, to meet the one, to meet the living God. We will plant seeds wherever we go, wherever we go, with whomever we meet. And we will encounter the harvest wherever we go, in whoever we meet. Because it is in the planting and it is in the seeding that we are doing the will of God. It is the encounter with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that is the purpose of all things, the purpose of everything, the answer to everything. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. I am he, Jesus says. The one who is speaking to you. Amen.